So we're going to take some time to share with one another tonight. This is really a fundamental element of being a community and a fellowship of people together, that we can talk to one another about the Word of God and encourage one another with the Word of God. So tonight we're not going to have an organized teaching up here, but we're going to have a little more casual time of just sharing with one another, which I'm very excited about. Our teaching series that we're going through right now is, we're calling it Ephesians Back to Basics. And we're doing that because most of you know this, but Ephesians has played a really big role in the shaping and formation of this church. A lot of the ideas and principles that you can find in Ephesians are what this church is built upon. And so we're going back through the book, and we just heard a lot of people really enjoying the study and having a lot of good insights into the Word. So we wanted to open tonight up to share. So if you plan on sharing, would you do this for me? You come up to this front row and have a seat, and then we'll just kind of go down the line of people that are going to share. And you can do that now, just so that there's not a lot of delay between people speaking. But, and as they're doing that, I wanted to kind of summarize where we've been so far. So we broke the book up into kind of three sections, and that is sit, walk, and stand. And the first three chapters kind of cover the sit portion of our teaching. You can go, if you get too squeezed in there, you can use another pew. Sorry, I didn't realize it'd be like sardines there. it's good. There's a lot of people that want to share. So we've been in the sit section, which has really been talking about just sitting and receiving from God who He is and what He's done in our life. And this is really the first stage, this really fundamental stage of who we are as a church, is that every individual would sit in the presence of God and know who they are in Him and what God has done for them through Jesus. And so we've had roughly about 13 teachings so far. So if you are in the audience, would you open your Bible to the book of Ephesians? I'm going to walk you through what we've done so far, okay? So we did first was it kind of an introduction to the whole book of Ephesians. And we just did that from chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, kind of an introduction. Paul had spent a lot of time with this group in Ephesus. Now he was writing them a letter. Then we jumped into this section, which was, it lasted quite a while. It was chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And you might remember that we broke this down really into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we went through this section of spiritual blessings. And first, we had kind of just a summary of the way that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit relate to one another. And then next, we had a teaching on fatherhood. And who our Father in heaven is. And then we had a teaching on just Jesus and who Jesus is and how He pours out blessing in our life. Then last, we did the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is that seal, right? Okay, and then we moved on to chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And this is that first prayer that you see in the book of Ephesians. And so we talked first about knowing God. Paul was praying that we would have a personal knowledge of who God is in our life. And then the end of that prayer, verses 20 through 22, we talked about the authority of Jesus Christ, how Jesus is the authority of heaven and earth because of what He did on the cross. God put Him on that throne. Then we moved into chapter 2, and we went through verses 1 through 7, and this was the section, the but God section, right, where we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive through Jesus. And then right after that, at the we'll start picking up in verse 8 through 10, we talked about the grace of God and how it's only by the grace of God that we're saved. It's not through our works, our accomplishments, our adherence to something, but it's because of the grace of God. And then we moved on to chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. And this is that teaching on oneness, right? Particularly the oneness between the Jews and the Gentiles, but really this bigger idea that we are one in Jesus Christ. And then we talked about, from verses chapter 2, 19 through 22, we talked about the church, how we are built together as the church. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, we talked about this kind of biography of Paul's life and how God poured out a ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles, to Paul. And then just last week, we talked about the second prayer, which finishes up chapter 3, and that we talked about power and strength that God wants to pour out into us, and that would be verses 14 through 21. Okay, I want to do a poll, okay, and I want to say this the right way. I'm not asking you what the best teaching was, okay? I'm not asking that, because I might get a little embarrassed up here, okay? But what I want to ask you is, I want, by raise of hands, I'm going to walk back through these. I want you to raise your hand on the teaching that was most impactful to you, okay? So I just walked through them all there. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to give you a second to raise your hand. So we're going to skip the introduction. That was probably the best one of them all. The teaching on the relationship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was a long time ago. Fatherhood. The fatherhood teaching. Yeah. The teaching on Jesus, the Son of God. Yeah. Holy Spirit. All right. Some people remember that one. Knowing God. A second prayer. Authority. The authority of Jesus. Yeah. But God, yeah. Salvation through grace. Yeah. Oneness in Christ. Chris has raised his hand on each one. You can raise your hand on more than one. They were all so good. The church, yeah. The life of Paul. Power and strength. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, as these folks are sharing, if something is stirred in your heart, feel free to come on up. Just try to keep anything you shared about 2 to 3 minutes. We don't want this to drag on forever. So, Ron, you want to kick us off?
What I want to talk about is the body and who we are together as a people, and key in on Ephesians 2, about the whole building being fitted together as growing in the holy temple of the Lord. And then I want to go down to chapter 3, starting verse 16. He would grant you according to his riches and glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. So I want to key in on 18, verse 18. You may be able to comprehend, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. I don't know if this was particularly, I mean, it's kind of, over my years of studying Ephesians, I don't know if this was particularly brought out, but I feel like I need to share it. So we're growing together to understand the love of God. And, you know, Brent, I'm looking at you. You remember me sharing this with you about 20-some, probably 30 years ago? That you may be able to comprehend together with all the saints. What's that mean? That we're all growing in the knowledge of God and his love for us. It might have been because of my own place of where I was at the time in my life, but God made very clear to me that you will never comprehend the love of Christ on your own. You notice, no matter what your relationship with Jesus is, whatever your relationship with the Father is, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I know that in times of fellowship, sweet fellowship you have with the Lord, that he'll reveal stuff to you in the word. You draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. But you'll come to a place where you'll bump your head. And it's not easy to bump your head on knowing God. You know what I mean? you'll never bump your head on knowing God, but if you get to a place where I know in my life, I was in a place where I was probably living pretty independently. And, you know, there was probably a time back 30-some years ago or more, I was like, hey, look, I don't need you, and you don't really need me, you know? And there was somebody in this body that came and shared with me one time and says, you know what? I don't need you either, but I choose to need you because I choose to know God and I want to know God. So, you know, I don't know how you ever took that verse as far as growing together with all the saints. It's not, we're not all growing independently to know his love, to be able to comprehend his love. You will never comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge. You will never do that on your own. See what I'm saying? I use this expression kind of pretty often. I say, you know, there's none of this outback with Jesus stuff. There used to be, and this is back during the Jesus people days, I guess, you know, it's kind of like just me and Jesus, man, me and Jesus, yeah. You're only going to grow so far like that. And I'm not saying God won't reveal his truth. God won't give you, revelation from the word. He will. But he's not going to reveal to you the whole breadth and length and depth and understanding of his love on your own. He will do it in a community of people, in the church that he's planted you in the people that you are living your life out with, that you will really come to understand the love of God. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share. And I think that's who we are as a people. You know, I think it goes along with what God's, this first part of Ephesians of who we are, you know. Amen.
I was not made aware that this was supposed to be 2 minutes, so I am sorry if I go over. But I'll try and keep this really short. So my testimony is about specifically the unity of the church, and really more about answered prayers than anything. So at the start of this, when we were told we're going to study Ephesians, I was like, great, because the church is a thing I do not understand. I have my doubts about it. Like, I like coming. Love you guys, for sure. But what if one day I didn't like coming? The only reason why I would have come is because I liked it. And if I stopped liking it, I would stop coming. So what is this? Is it just habit? Like, what is this? Can I just break this off whenever I'm ready? Or like, what is the deal with this? And so my prayer at the beginning of this was like, okay, God, what's up with the church? Why the church? Why is this a thing that we do? Is it just, like, talk to me. Please tell me something about this church of yours. Also, a really strong thing that I wanted to mention is that there are lots of good ways of doing things. And I was wondering, is this just one of those ways? Of good ways of doing things. So that's probably the big question here. So God gave me 4 revelations. I will go through those really quickly. Number one, God was, and this is out of in the dispensation of the fullness of time that he may reveal to us, you know, that he might gather together all things in Christ, both in heaven and on earth, even in him. That's the verse that set this off. So God is doing what he wants, and he has always been doing what he wants, and what he wants to do is to unite all things together in Christ. And that has been the entire Old Testament through the New Testament, through our time to eternity. It has been God is wanting to bring everything together in Christ. And then 2, it is God. So out of that, the church has always been a thing. It's not like in the New Testament it became like this new thing. it was always God's people, God wanting to be with his people, wanting to unite all things in Christ, always the plan. So this being one of the good ways of doing things is out of the window immediately. It is the way God wants to do things. And two, the church reveals God's wisdom. And there's two emphases there. There's the church reveals the wisdom of God. So it's not anyone's good idea, back around to that. So nobody came up with the church idea. It is God's idea, which means you can't have any better ideas. Like, whatever ideas that I have about how to do this, I should drop them, because his idea is the idea. And then two, it's the church that reveals the wisdom of God. There are no other better ideas out there for me to see. There's nothing better for me to give myself to in order to see that great mind and heart that is in God the Father. So, and then it is the function of the church to help us together to mature in Christ. So out of that, God wanting to unite all things, he made us in Christ's image, in his heart. He gave us his heart in his spirit, which means now we should want to unite, be united and unite all things in Christ. And so when we come to church and we look at each other, or really this is me talking to myself, but also for all of us, when we come to church and we look at each other, our heart should be, how can we grow together in maturity into Christ? Because that is the heart of God. And so if you're a child of God, you have the heart of God. The heart of God is unite all things together in one. And then just Paul's heart. That's not a duty, it's a real heart. It's a real love. And that just, I just felt like that just spoke volumes. That last teaching on Paul's life, like, it was his life. The church was worth everything, even his actual life. So the testimony is God answers prayers when you pray. I'm at the start of that, but yeah.
Mine's super simple. It's out of chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. So we were completely dead to, and weren't able to do anything in our own power to be who God called us to be and to be what he's designed us to be. So just resting in that, remembering that we came from that place from the beginning. Growing up in this church, it's easy to forget where, what I was delivered from. And you read about the Israelites coming out of Egypt and how quickly they forgot, what they were delivered from, in Egypt. So just really, I've always known that, but really coming to see and always remember that's where we were saved from, and only through Christ. And so just sitting in that in a new way has been really cool. But also, on the other side of it, seeing the miracle that each and every one of us here is because of Christ. It wasn't anything at all in our own power, and not a single person can say that. And so we can always point to Christ's power, Christ's blood covering us. And that's a big joy to me, and a big encouragement to all of us. I think we can get into the kingdom and forget where we came from, but I think it's really important to remember what we are saved from, and to continue to see the strength and the complete dependence we have on Christ. So that's been a blessing to me, just resting in that truth and remembering that continually. So that's it.
I knew exactly this morning what I was going to say and yesterday, and now it's kind of I'm trying to figure out how to put it again. But, you know, listening to everybody here, what a blessing. Oh, my goodness. Everybody who just has said something has just encouraged me more and more and more. And I'm trying to figure out how do I summarize what I'm going to say in a simple way. And I think it's fatherhood. I mean, I think it's our dependence upon God the Father, that we know that He, beyond a shadow of a doubt, allows us to trust in Him and carries us along in what we do. I mean, there's no substitution for that. And, you know, what I want to do is I want to talk just a little bit about, I don't know if you all have heard about George Mueller or not. George Mueller he's one of my, I guess I would say he's a hero of mine. He's somebody that I read when I was a new Christian, and it just lit my heart on fire for prayer to realize, wow, look at what this guy did. And not what he did, but what he trusted in God about. And why it's important with this is I read through Ephesians, and we talk about God the Father of Jesus Christ, you know, God the Father, the unity, just all this together. It just reminds me that, oh my goodness, you know, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. George believed all that. He knew that. He trusted God to the point that, I mean, if you know Old England was in order to go to church, you would have to pay for your spot in a seat to be able to sit there. And that's how the pastors would get their money. And George, at a young age, he said, this isn't right. He said, I'm going to trust the Lord that God will provide for us. And then he went along and said, Lord, I just feel like you're calling me to be able to start an orphanage so that, and I'm never going to ask anybody for money. All we're going to do is pray, and we're going to believe that you will do this. Well, 30 years later, they had taken care of like 1,500, 1,700 orphans. In today's dollars, it probably would have been, you know, millions of dollars that were brought in. They built multiple buildings. Those buildings are still used today for some famous universities in England. So it's an amazing story of all this. But it just brings me back to realize, wow, George truly understood who God the Father was. And as you read, I love reading his autobiography. I've read it a couple of times. It's very tedious, but I would encourage you to read it at some point. But he keeps on saying over and over again, I didn't feel like it today to pray, but when I did, the blessings were just unbelievable. God just blessed me tremendously. I wasn't feeling well. I was sick, but I'm going to pray anyway. And God just overcame all these things. And so it's been such an encouragement, but to realize that, and where I was going to finally go with this is that, I know this is skipping ahead to chapter 4, sorry, but as I've read through, there's a verse that I have not been able to get out of my mind. It has just been caught onto me for weeks now, and it's a second part, but I'll read the whole verse, but it's the second part that has just grabbed my heart, and it's Ephesians 4:28. It says, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. That has just caught my heart. And I thought, wow, we as a people in this nation are so blessed, we've forgotten that. We have forgotten that wow, we're supposed to work, not just so we can live, but that we can bless those around us. And I think George understood that. And again, the reason I go back to him is he encourages me. But the thing that I want to touch on this is that, and this is kind of the final thought, is you read through his autobiography, over and over again, he says that there's all these workers that, you know, who are working at the orphanages, and they would give money on days that there was nothing there so people could eat. And I was like, Lord, why did you have people who were working there, who were already doing this stuff? Why did you have them giving? Why weren't the prayers answered by those around and bring this in? And I was just really struggling with it. I'd be going to bed every night saying, Lord, a couple things. Number one is my heart such that I'd be willing to do that? Would I be willing to work a job like that and then give that money right back to what was given to me so that your name would be glorified? And then, but I said, but Lord, why does that happen? And I just want to read this one little thing, and this is the last thing. And this is what George wrote. He says, how kindly has the Lord so ordered it that for some time past the income of the school fund should have been so little, in order that thus we might be constrained to let the laborers in the day school share our joys and our trials of faith, which had been before kept from them. But it made it a blessing to them, so that I am now able to leave Bristol, and yet the work goes on. So I do not doubt the brethren and sisters who are teachers in the day schools will be greatly blessed by being partakers of our precious secret respecting the state of the funds. What he's basically saying is, he said, these people were allowed to give. And if they hadn't been told of the need, they would have missed out on the great gifting of seeing God move in this ways. And so I just want to still all walk away with a thought. You know, there may be times that we're stuck in the middle of something that we can't figure out. Well, Lord, why is this going on? There may be a tremendous blessing at the end of that that God is using can use for us. And I think that's one of the, I think of fatherhood from that standpoint. So.
Well, I had planned to share a personal testimony tonight when Billy called and asked me to share on Ephesians. So I'm going to just combine those two together, and you'll understand as I go on. All right. So first of all, I want to start by thanking the whole congregation for praying for me before I had my surgery in March. Matt very kindly asked the congregation to pray, and I appreciated it. I am happy to say that God is faithful, and I had a very successful surgery. I'm very healthy, and I had a great recovery. So thank you so much for your prayers, and I just thank God for his goodness. Yes, thank you. Paul closes the prayer in chapter 3 by saying, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That really has captured my heart for a long time in studying Ephesians. And last week when Matt Schaefer talked, he said, we expect far less from God than what he can do. And that really hit me. I thought, well, that's not where I want to live, with worry, doubt, and fear, or expecting less from God than he can do. Because this is the God that created the heaven and the earth by just speaking them into existence. And this is the God that took over 1 million of his people and brought them out of Egypt, put them in the desert and took care of them, fed and clothed them for 40 years. And this is the God that kept his promise to subdue their enemies and give them the promised land, which was already, had homes and fields and crops for them. He provided everything, exceeding abundantly above what they probably imagined it would be. And this is the God who rose from the dead and conquered sin, hell, and the grave. Amen. And this is the God who was raised from the dead and healed the sick, the lame, and the blind. And he still does that today. This is the God who softened my hard heart and drew me to himself until I surrendered my life to Christ. Sorry. This is the God, so good, who when Abigail was 2 weeks old, they said she may not make it, but she'll be blind. She was blind in one eye. She was completely healed, and she has perfect vision in both of her eyes. She still heals the blind. And this is the God who when the doctor said my liver tumor was so big and cancerous that I probably didn't need to be operated on because I wasn't going to survive anyway, and God said no. And they took out a benign tumor in half of my liver, and it's grown back, and I'm perfectly healthy. So God still heals today. And this is the God who, when my daughter Elizabeth had POTS, and the doctor said, you'll have that for the rest of your life, God said, no. And he healed her at a home group meeting. She went into the meeting barely able to walk. And she, right, Debbie? And she went out of the meeting and said, I feel great, went home and ran 2 miles. And hasn't had a single symptom in 5 years. This is the God who still heals the lame. And this is the God who has sustained Mike through 15 years of living with a chronic illness and given him great joy in his heart through it all. I am so impressed with that. And this is the God who has provided for us. There was one year when Mike was so sick, he couldn't work. He was working at home, but he wasn't working. And I think he worked maybe 5 days that year and took a few phone calls. And it's a long story, but God provided. He drew his entire GE salary that entire year as he was laying sick in bed. God is so good. He still provides for, he still provides for his people, always. This is our God. So where is there room for worry? Where is there room for doubt? Where is there room for fear? Because our God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask and all that we can think. Amen? All right. So I'm not going to worry about, will we have money as we grow old? I'm not going to worry, is God, or doubt, is God going to bring my prodigal back? I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. I'm not going to fear what the evil one can do to me. God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now going back to my, in the beginning when they prayed for me for my surgery, I was not the only one we prayed for. A lot of people came down and asked for prayer. And so I just want to encourage you, if you haven't been healed yet, hang on. Don't worry. Don't doubt. Don't fear. And we are, when you are healed, we are looking forward to you coming up and giving your testimony here. And we will rejoice because our God is so good. Thank you for letting me share.
I want to thank the guys that have been preparing these messages, because when you're asked to get up here and talk for 2 or 3 minutes, I mean, I've been seeking the Lord today, and I can imagine that they've been on their face before the Lord and really preparing some great messages, so I'm grateful for that. I was watching some golf today, which I never do, but it's kind of been in the news. I was watching that PGA tournament, and there was a beer commercial, and these guys were playing golf, and the weather was really terrible. It was raining terribly, but they were having a blast anyway. And I thought, that's kind of like when Matt said he didn't pray for their circumstances, he didn't pray that their circumstances would change. And I'm like, they had Michelob Ultra. And I'm like, that made their time like more fun. And I was like, he wants that in us, you know, that when things aren't going well, like Cindy was just saying, man, look at how God in us makes our circumstances okay. Paul said, or Matt last week, and I think that we're talking a little bit more about that one because it's more near, but it was a really good message, I think. Paul wants us to know God like he knows God. When he said, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And I'm like, why do we need this? And it's like, well, the Ephesians needed it. You know, they needed Paul's prayer for that. And that's okay that I need it too, because I really do need that. And when he said, people who are powered by the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead have power to love with no expectation. Love those who don't love them back. Endure suffering and not be overcome. Forgive unconditionally, not swayed when someone slights them or is unloving to them. And as I was looking at that, preparing, I was like, yeah, that's cool. I want that. And then I was like, I want everybody else to be like that. They're going to be fun to be around. You know, and I think that's kind of the point. We want everybody to be like that and share that together, that no matter what our circumstances are, that God is glorified in our lives. So, you know, thanks for letting me share.
Y'all may not know this, but Joe and I have been friends for 40 years. I was just thinking, maybe 39 and a half. Joe is my brother. So, all right, I'm going to time myself. Deb, I'm doing this for you. And I'm going to go down to 3 minutes. He originally said up to five, but I'm trying to be gracious. So a few weeks ago, I was sitting in my chair drinking coffee, and we have two little dogs, and they were on my lap. Debbie was gone with her friends in Florida. And God, I guess, showed up, however you want to say it, and I was so blessed that I was a Christian. I was so blessed that I was a son of God. I was so blessed that I got saved. And I thought a lot about, it was Ephesians 2, 3 area about, you know, Paul being the minister to the Gentiles. And I was just thinking how I was a Gentile. I was not raised in a Christian home. I'm not a Jew, you know. And God, in his great love and mercy, reached out to me and brought me into his family. And the truth of the matter, and I don't talk about this a lot, but I was really the fruit of adultery. And so I was thinking about even that. I said, not only am I a Gentile, I'm really not even supposed to be here. You know, if my mom obeyed, I would not be here. So somehow I start to understand more of the grace of God and the mercy of God, that even when there's a mistake, not me, all right, but a mistake, that he redeems that. And I don't walk around like I'm a mistake. I don't even think about it, to be honest with you. But what God is encouraging me, and I have a hard time saying this, but it's for all of us, but I'm a fellow heir now, which I do not understand, you know. But I'm sitting there, and I'm in my chair, and I just couldn't get over the fact of just how blessed I am. And how God blessed me here, 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 and here, and where I didn't even deserve it, and just humbled by the fact that at one point, you know, or in my life, that I was lost, I was dead, I was not around any Christians, I was, you know, in sin, whatever you wanted to say, I was all of it. And somehow God in his great love just reached out to me and made me a son and brought me into the family. And again, I have a hard time even sharing the words, but now I'm a fellow heir. We are all fellow heirs with Jesus, and we get to sit with him in the heavenlies. This is crazy love that we have from God. So I wanted to encourage you all, and I'm trying to encourage myself here. And Ron, you ended up with saying, receive his love. And I just want to encourage you all to receive his love. And I know that y'all have. I just want to encourage y'all to do that and to really think about the fact that at one point, there's my song. I think that's the happy song, isn't it? you know, y'all were Gentiles. We were all Gentiles, and God in his great love reached out and saved us and brought us into his family. And we have been blessed, like Tom said at the beginning of communion, in so many ways, in all the ways, all of them. We can't be blessed any more than Jesus. There's no more. We got it all, and we don't deserve it. And he still just loved us and brought us in. But I want to end with this scripture. Ephesians 2, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So let us receive his love. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Is that everybody? John, you can come on up. All right. Were you blessed by that? Praise the Lord. That is good. I'm glad we did that. I'm glad we didn't organize a teaching so that we could hear what God is saying to his people. Amen. Well, we saved a couple of songs for the end to worship. So we got a couple of songs we're going to worship with, and we're going to stand back up and worship. But I think it'd be a great idea, just as we're worshiping, this is not as much of an organized meeting. It's not our usual structure. So I want it to be kind of free. And we're just going to worship God and bless him. But as we do that, as we worship God, I want you to feel free to do a couple of things. You don't need to, but if the Spirit moves you in these ways. We're finishing up the first section, and I think this idea of receiving the love of God, the power of God, the blessings of God, God's fatherhood, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that we would really, truly receive that from God. And so you've learned a lot of things, and probably a lot of that's been stirred up just as we've been talking. But if you have a sense in your heart that you want to come up front and just put your foot down and say, listen, I want to receive this. I'll be up here. Bill will be up here. We'd be happy to pray with you. Or if you just want to come up and pray and be in God's presence, we're gonna worship, but this whole area up here will be open for you to come up. And then second, we are a fellowship. We are friends. We are family here. And some people said some general things up here, but I want to ask you to do this too. As we're worshiping, as we're praising God, if you have anything on your heart from this, these first couple of chapters that you feel like God wants you to share with somebody else, I want to invite you to do that too while we're here. So you can just go over somebody and share with them, say, hey, this is true about God, and I just want you to know that this is true, and I think he wants you to know it. That makes sense? Amen. All right, well, let's stand up. I'm going to thank God for what he's just shared with us, and then we're gonna worship him, but also fellowship and be in his presence and receive from him. Lord God, I thank you that you have blessed our body with just some awesome people. With different perspectives and different experiences, God. And I thank you for how powerful it is that your word touches each one of us right here, right now. This is like a book that was sent to Ephesus thousands of years ago. But Lord, it is so pertinent. It's so valuable. It's so meaningful to us right now. And we honor you for your word and the way that you speak your word through just the people in your church, God. So we invite you, Holy Spirit. We've heard your word, but we don't want to just be people that hear, God. We want to be people that take it, and then we want to do it. We want to apply it to our lives, God. So come tonight by your Holy Spirit and stir us up as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God.